Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him.
Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you love us despite difficulties we have to face. Help us, Lord, to draw our strength from you. And I pray for the church, Lord, at Area Park, that you would comfort all the people who've lost. It sounds like it's just a lot of loss, Lord. Pray, Lord, for joy in you, joy in the Spirit. I pray, Lord, for good fellowship amongst the church family and good love and care. Pray this, and I pray, Lord, that as we look at your word, that you'll speak to us. Pray this in your name. Amen. This story, let me tell you this story. Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, they were followed by a large crowd. You've got to get a picture in your head. You've got to see it as a video. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, they were followed by a large crowd. And there are two blind men sitting beside the road. And when they heard that it was Jesus coming by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd said, "Would you guys be quiet?" They rebuked them and told them off. They told them off and said, "Please shush up." But they cried all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." They're blind. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped, called them, and he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "We'd like our sight." They said, "Lord, we would like our sight." Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and they followed him. Let me run that story past you one more time. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, they were followed by a large crowd. Imagine all the noise, people chatting, maybe people leading donkeys. I don't know what they were doing. Two blind men sat beside the road, and they would have been listening to what was going on. And they heard that it was Jesus passing by. They shouted out, because it's a noisy place, they shouted out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. They cried all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped, called them, and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Lord, we would like our sight." Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and they followed him. Where is Jesus coming from? How come he's in Jericho? Well, Jesus has been, if you imagine the map of Israel, Jesus has been up in the Galilee area. He sneaked down the right-hand side, the eastern side of the Jordan, and he's now coming across the Jordan River on his way to Jerusalem to die. Right? This is the last fortnight, 10 days of Jesus' life. And he's coming down. He's turned right to go west over the Jordan River to Jericho. He's at Jericho, 25 or so Ks from Jerusalem, a day's walk from Jerusalem. He's there. He's heading to Jerusalem to die in our place. If you have a fast finger, you might be able to see that, what's happened in the chapters beforehand. I have a summary for my ease, which I'm not going to put up. Matthew 16. Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees and Sadducees up the top at Lake Galilee, the Galilee area. They're arguing about everything. They're just trying to unsettle Jesus. Peter declares that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, which is a great step forward. Jesus then tells his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and die, that he'll suffer, be killed, and rise on the third day. And then he says, and if anyone would come after me, they need to take up their cross and follow me. Jesus has a big teaching moment there. Chapter 17, amongst other things, that's the transfiguration where Jesus shows his glory. 18, Jesus talks about God's kingdom and forgiveness. 19 and 20 are just about a picture of the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And that's shown in a couple of different stories and a couple of different teaching sections. The first will be last and the last will be first. So we're back to Jericho. We've made our way. We've come down with Jesus. We're now at Jericho. 25 kilometers or so from Jerusalem. It was called a day's walk, about a day's walk. Jesus is mingling with the crowd that are traveling up to the Passover because it's Passover time. Jesus died at Passover. So all the people from all over Israel were making their way to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. So there were crowds going with Jesus. There were crowds going along the road and Jesus sort of merged in. So Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. The blind men versus the crowds. This is a 5-point sermon. I thought you deserve 5 points. You get 2 bonus points today. Point number 2. So that was Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Secondly, the blind versus the crowd. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, they were followed by a large crowd. There's a huge crowd there. Huge crowd. Now, crowds make noise and shuffle and dust and carry on, and it must have been a tremendous thing. And there's 2 blind men sitting by the side of the road. Think about it. They didn't have the Blind Guide Dogs Association then. They didn't have dogs. They didn't have ultrasonic glasses that helped them get around. They didn't have a white stick so that no one would run them over. They didn't have iPads in large letters. No, none of that. These poor guys were sitting beside this road, probably begging. What a tough life. What a tough life. They're unable to work. And in John chapter 9, the disciples actually asked Jesus when they met another blind man, is this guy cursed? They thought, whose sin caused this? So there was a thought at the time that if you're blind, that somehow God had given it to you for punishment. It was really unhelpful. They're begging. They're in a terrible position. So they're sitting there and they know the crowd's going on its way to Jerusalem. And all of a sudden things stir up. Things stir up. And there's a buzz in the crowd. There's a buzz in the crowd. And they say, what's happening? What's happening? And someone must have told them Jesus is passing by. So they cry out, Lord, they don't say Jesus. What do they say? Help me. Lord, they don't say Jesus. They don't use his name. They go, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. They can see more than the crowd can see. They see, they don't just see Jesus. They can't see him, but they don't just see Jesus. They see Lord, Son of David. And they cry, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Time for a quick excursion into 2 Samuel 7. If you've got a Bible and or just relax and listen. 2 Samuel 7, one of my favorite Old Testament passages. It is a beautiful passage. In it, David says to God in prayer, and then he says to Nathanael, he says, he's built his palace, but he hasn't built a temple. He says to God, basically, I'm paraphrasing, God, I would like to build you a house, a temple. I'm paraphrasing. God, I'd like to build you a house. And God says, No, I'm going to build you a house. It's going to be an eternal household, a dynasty that will last forever. And your offspring will sit on the throne forever, pointing to Jesus, pointing to eternity. Let me read to you. 2 Samuel 7, verse 11. The Lord declares to you, this is Nathan the prophet talking to David. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I'll raise up your offspring, singular, to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Skip to verse 16. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Now, these blind guys couldn't read, obviously. They didn't have reading because they were blind. But they knew that God had promised a big promise about one of David's ancestors, that he would be king forever. It's 1,000 years wait approximately from when this 2 Samuel was written, just approximately, to when Jesus arrives. About 1,000 years. So about 1,000 years they've been longing and longing and longing for a savior, longing for a Messiah, longing for someone from David's line who would sort things out. Jesus is the hope of the nation. The nation is presently under Roman occupation. Things aren't well, and they're hoping for something better. They thought that Jesus would be the one. And the blind guys see what's going on, and they call out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." I think it's beautiful because the blind see more than the seeing can see. Without sight, they saw who Jesus was. They must have heard about him and what he'd been doing, his teaching, his healing, his taking on the Pharisees and teaching them. They must have heard. Well, the blind men say, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd turn around and say, "That is wonderful. What a wonderful, insightful comment. Oh, you've really helped us. Yes, it's the Son of David." No. The crowd say, "Would you guys be quiet? We're having a fantastic parade here. We don't need you. We're on our way to Jerusalem. You're not coming. We're not going to hold your hand all the way. We're not going to then look after you up in Jerusalem. You just be quiet." That's what they say. Doesn't sound like church talk, does it? We've spent about 19 years in Brayley on the south coast, and the next little village up from us is Tomakan. Has anyone been to Tomakan? Do you know Tomakan Services Club? Yes, fantastic place. We used to like to go there all the time. On Anzac Day, there's a march. Goes from the general store, which is down the road, to the Tomakan Services Club, where there's a wonderful service. And I'm a schoolie, so when we go down there, when we're there at home, as a normal thing, we meet all the kids there, get it all organized, and we walk up and we lay a wreath. How does it work? Well, Bill, the old flight sergeant, is there. And he's wandering around getting people organized and just carrying on like an old, he's an old expert. There's the police escort at the front with the highway patrol car, and there's a highway patrol car at the back to make sure no one runs up the back of us. The Batemans Bay Pipe Band is there with their drums and band, and unfortunately they invite the bagpipe people, which is a bit disappointing. The Vietnam vets are there. They're lined up there. They're ready to march. There's old soldiers in Land Rovers and open Jeeps. It's really nice. Everyone is looked after and cared for. There's the cadets who are all shiny and ready to go. My favourite is the historic Light Horse Brigade reenactment people who have horses. They have the horses there and they're dressed up in their World War I style uniforms, and you can pat the horse, and the horses actually stand during the parade pretty well. Oh, it's beautiful. The kids love it. I love it. And at the back are all the kids, and the teachers, the staff of the schools. And off we go. The band starts and off we go. Once it's moving, the parade does not stop. Once it's going, get out of the way. When kids come late, and they always do, they have to run down. Their parents chuck them in and then they have to just sort of come along with us. No one says, oh, Pete's not here. He should have been here a minute ago. Let's wait for him. No. All the kids have to get chucked in and us teachers grab them and just off we go. And it moves. The police make sure that no one's going to get in the way and slow us down. The band says no one is going to stop. We're going to keep playing. It is just a machine that just works its way down the road. People take photos. People wave, but no one stops and says hi and gets a photo taken. Everyone keeps going. That's what happens. And that's what's happening here on the way to Jerusalem. Which way is Jerusalem? It's this way, isn't it? No, it's this way. On the way to Jerusalem, the crowd is moving. And as soon as the crowd gets moving, it's hard to resist it. Everyone is just moving. There's no space behind you. Yet what does Jesus do? Jesus stops. That is my third point. Jesus stops. He's on his way to Jerusalem to die for our sin. He's on his way to Jerusalem to die. He said he's going to do that. He's told his disciples he must. Yet he has enough time when he hears someone calling out his name to stop. He calls them and he says, what do you want me to do for you? He could have just gone on the march and gone, fixed, keep going. He could have. But he didn't, did he? He stops. He calls them over, which means the people who were telling them to shut up and be quiet had to help them. You get that? The people who were resisting Jesus helping these people probably had to say, oh, well, he's calling your name, better come over here now. And he says, what can I do for you? He takes the time to listen. I want to stop there for a moment and say, Jesus takes the time to listen to you as well. I don't know what's happening for you. I don't know what's happening for anyone here, really. But what I can assure you is that Jesus stops to listen to you. He will stop and listen. And I think that's a precious thing. How many times do you have some good news or a trouble and there's no one who wants to listen to you? Do you know that feeling? When you've got something on your heart and you just can't find someone who will listen to you and understand. Jesus will listen to you and care. He will care. He does care. Let me remind you of that. Time stands still for these two blind guys. Jesus calls them over. The parade seems to have stopped, or at least part of it has stopped. It's as if Jesus is focusing. Instead of focusing on the whole world, he brings his focus down to these two guys. It's beautiful. Jesus will bring his focus to you and listen to you as well, and he does to me. What do you want me to do for you? We'd like to see. We'd like our sight. It's simple. He could have guessed it. But he says, what do you want me to do for you? I think there's beauty in that. There's more chance that we won't take our problems to Jesus than that Jesus won't listen. Saying that Jesus won't listen is not accurate. The problem is that we won't take our problems to Jesus. We won't stop our busy lives, stop from our worries and our running around, and just stop and say, Lord Jesus, please help me with this. That is the greatest danger, that we don't talk to the Lord, not that the Lord doesn't listen to us. The Lord listens. The Lord listens. He's under incredible pressure. I've had a couple of operations over the years and no one enjoys sitting outside in the waiting room. No one enjoys, and I certainly don't enjoy when they say, take off your normal clothes, get into these silly clothes, and you're standing there, sitting there waiting in your dressing gown sort of thing, and you know what's coming up. Jesus knew what was coming up. And yet he has time to spend with these two guys. He let them talk. He let them express their faith in him because they believed that something would happen. They believed that Jesus would make a change in their lives. They'd cried out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." They knew Jesus was a special person. They knew he'd been out healing people and teaching. Number four, this is the first of the bonus points. Jesus showed compassion. Compassion is a feeling in your stomach when you feel the same pain that someone else is feeling. Jesus felt compassion, touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and they followed him. Jesus had compassion. Jesus had enough on his plate. Sometimes I'm an irritable person. Sometimes when I've got enough stuff on my plate, I don't want anyone else to put their stuff on my plate. When I've got my own worries, I feel like saying, "Would you just give me a minute? I've just got to deal with this stuff." Jesus, imagine the stuff on his plate. He's walking to his death. He's walking with people who misunderstand him. And he's going to die for them. And yet he's got room on his plate for the blind men. He's got room on his plate for you and me. He has compassion. He has compassion on them. He has compassion on us. Do you remember that I mentioned that first will be last stuff? Jesus has compassion on the last. These guys who are blind, they're the last. Can you imagine any more last than being blind and unable to work and unable to function, unable to care for other people? Like, that's tough. But Jesus treats them with beauty and grace and generosity. Well, what's the crowd doing? The crowd is sort of like a backdrop to the, sort of like a backdrop. Thank you for Amy for this story. The crowd is like a backdrop, and then the crowd resists people who want to come to Jesus. These blind guys want Jesus' help, and the crowd go, "Nah, not going to get it." They resist Jesus' help. It's as if they're floating along, walking in the same direction, but I don't know that they're actually following Jesus because they don't think the way Jesus thinks. They don't care the way Jesus cares. They don't have concern the way Jesus does. It's as if they're just going in the same direction. We have a favorite spot for holidays. It's Fraser Island. Has anyone else been to Fraser Island? Fraser Island has a creek called Eli. Fraser Island is one of the few spots where you can drive on the beach in your four-wheel drive. It's wonderful fun. It's wonderful fun. And you go along, you get off the ferry and you drive around for about an hour and a half and you get to a spot called Eli Creek. Eli Creek is where a huge elevated lake drains into through a creek onto the beach with a freshwater creek. And people go in there to fill up their water bottles for camping. But the best fun is to get a $5 Lilo from the junk shop. And you get in there, you walk. There's a walkway, a raised pathway. And you jump in and you just float. It's just like, I feel like a child when I'm doing those things. I just have so much fun. You just float. You float, you float, you float, you float. You get out, walk up the little steps, and off you go again. You jump in. And you float and you sort of swish, and it's about 2 meters wide. The trees come over the top. You feel like you're in the Garden of Eden. It's just unbelievable. Now, we're going in the same direction as everybody, but we're not friends. We walk around again and we meet people. We see people on the path. We're not friends. We're not actually living the same lives or sharing anything with them. We just happen to be at the creek together. And I wonder if that's what's happening on the way to Jerusalem. I wonder if the crowd, while the text says they're following Jesus, they certainly didn't live like Jesus. They certainly didn't have his values. They didn't believe that the first should be last or the people should be included. I think if we're in the crowd accidentally or because we've stopped thinking about things or we've just let our guard down, it's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be living our Christian lives. And we've been around for a while. I've been around for a while. You've been around for a while. It's dangerous to live on autopilot. We've got to keep coming back to the Lord to keep the Lord fresh in our memories, fresh on our minds, fresh on our hearts. And I wonder if this crowd was religious, but I wonder how they were really going in their hearts. I wonder. Let me finish. The blind men followed Jesus. That's point five, the second bonus point. The blind men followed Jesus. Jesus had compassion on them and they followed him. The blind men followed Jesus. They didn't say, thanks, I'm going home. Thanks, I'm hungry, I'm going down the shops. Thanks, I'm going to see mum. Thanks, I'm just going to the library. They didn't do that. They got up and they followed Jesus out of town, out of Jericho on the way to Jerusalem. They didn't have, I don't know if they had their pocket money with them. They just went. And I don't think they just walked on the same way with as Jesus was going, and it was coincidence. They followed Jesus. They watched what Jesus was going. They wanted to be with Jesus because they had just had an incredible experience with Jesus. He cares for the broken and bruised. They asked for mercy and they got mercy. It's wonderful. They asked for mercy. Mercy is undeserved. It's kindness that's not deserved. And Jesus was merciful to them. It's beautiful. But Jesus didn't cancel his walk and stay and have morning tea with the guys, the blind guys. He knew that he was on his way to Jerusalem to die. He sorted out their short-term lives, but at Jerusalem he sorted out our long-term lives by dealing with sin, opening the way to a relationship with God the Father. It's beautiful. The healing cost Jesus some time. Our healing, our saving us from sin and from all of our past, cost Jesus' life. He experienced separation from God as he took all of our sins on him, but he did it for us. Well, let's finish. The blind guys had a big picture of Jesus. I want to say to you today, I hope you can have a big picture of Jesus. A big picture of Jesus who cares, who's merciful, who's generous, who listens, who will stop and listen to you, who will stop and listen to the people you love, who will stop and listen. When we intentionally follow Jesus, it affects who we are, it affects our hearts, it affects what we say, what we speak, what we think about, the attitudes we have. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying in our place. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for showing mercy and generosity and kindness to these guys who are nobodies. Thank you, Lord, that you listen to us and care about us, even though we are nothing special. Thank you, Lord, that you put the first last and the last first. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in that. Help us, Lord, to be on board with that, and help us, Lord, to reach out to people who need to hear the Lord Jesus. Amen.